On the Shore is back, and my voice is sore. That's okay, though. We got a lot of stuff. A lot's happened in the world since the last time we've come on this channel. You know, we've been talking a lot. We is in Max McDoolin and I. Since that time, Max, what? We had a global pandemic. This guy over here, he moved to Texas. Then he moved back. You know, back and forth. It's crazy. And, you know, our love of sports was large, but muted because of the world, you know. And I think that I had a real quote that really hit me the other day, Max. It was, you know, sports is the reward for a functioning society. And I didn't believe that at the start of the pandemic. But the way we feel right now about sports, and this is not political commentary, but things seem to be functioning a little better, at least on the surface. And I can really put my arm around sports again in a way I really haven't been able to in quite a long time. And that's why I think we're really excited to get this back rolling with my sore voice or not sore voice, but we're going to roll through it.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, I think that's what most sports fans are feeling right now, is that the reality is that because sports is back, we're all able to embrace sports a little bit more. It was quiet, right? Baseball came back in a weird way last year. Even the college football season was odd for most of the year. College basketball was still different. The NBA was different. But now we're starting to be able to go as live fans. And one of those sporting events that we've been a part of more often, that I think a part of the reason it's more normal, is that baseball games don't always have tons of fans. Yeah. Well, now since you can have 10,000 fans in the ballpark, 10,000 fans want to show up. And those 10,000 fans are loud and into the game. And so it's been engaged, and TV's gotten better, and the NBA broadcasts have gotten better. So it's been a lot more fun, and now people are ready to engage in it again.
Yeah, well, we'll get to baseball. But football's king, and this is a Chicago sports podcast. You know, we live in this city. We're around it all. And Max and I bring a nice outsider perspective. Did not grow up here. Did not grow up fans of Chicago sports. But now, because we have pride in the city we live in, you know, you want these teams to be successful. And sometimes you get annoyed when you see that the teams don't see their own potential. Chicago Cubs, I think that's the biggest untapped thing in the city right now, especially with the way they operate. But again, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, or maybe the Chicago Bears. That could be the team with the most untapped potential in this city.
Yeah, are the Bears a sleeping giant that's just never found a quarterback? You know, that's what a lot of people, I think. I don't know. Is that really true when a guy like Ryan Pace is running the organization? What's your outsider perspective on Ryan Pace? Because, you know, Chicago natives and people that have been talking Bears the last, 5 years, they've been through it. But what's your outsider perspective on Mr. Pace?
Well, my outsider perspective on Ryan Pace is that he's actually starting to create an atmosphere where it's a toxic environment to want to even think about come to Chicago and be a quarterback here. I mean, look, at this point, you can call it the magic eight ball. There's been 8 quarterbacks who have come in, and at some point, I would say there's 8 who have been significant acquisitions in the Ryan Pace era. Those are Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Chase Daniel, Nick Foles, Tyler Bray, and now Andy Dalton. I mean, that is
Andy Dalton's the best on that list, by the way.
Absolutely. Andy Dalton is the best on that list. I think Nick Foles is close. And sadly, I think one of the others who's probably at least third best, if not second best on the list, is the guy that he cut who went 29-21 in Mitch Trubisky. And I think we both agree that Mitch has, you know, there was untapped potential. There was a lot of red flags. There was a lot of problems there. But at the end of the day in the NFL, you got to win. And Mitch Trubisky took teams to the playoffs. 29-21. I mean, I look at quarterback records more than anything. But again, that itself is a debate for the other.
I love that because you're old school. I like it. I want you to keep that. You know,
because I will keep it. I absolutely will.
In the analytics community, I feel like they've kind of taken over sports talk in a way. And they've told the old school guys, hey, oh, it's not even okay to think that. And I think it is. You know, Mitchell, I think he added a little running dynamic to the offense, which makes it interesting when we talk about Trey Lance and these guys that can move. You know, is Matt Nagy best suited with, instead of Mitchell Trubisky's wheels, why don't you get Justin Fields' wheels? Because Justin Fields is certainly more accurate. Justin Fields is certainly faster. than Mitchell Trubisky. So that's an interesting thought for Ryan Pace that I don't think he'll consider.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? But here's the problem. Here's what Ryan Pace has done probably a second time that he thought the first time he was doing it was pulling the rug out from everyone. And I think this was the biggest red flag acquisition at quarterback, because he came in to a team that was solid at the time. He let Jay Cutler play for two seasons and then he cut him. Nobody in the NFL was shocked at that decision. Nobody really, I mean, most people said it was a good decision, right? It was time for Chicago to move on. They attempted to find their quarterback once again. They did not find it in Jay Cutler. But then what they did in March of 2017, this is the thing that blows
my mind. Jay Cutler did make an NFC championship.
Absolutely.
I think we should mention.
And Rex Grossman made a Super Bowl. I mean, and so that's the sleeping giant of,
you know, as bad as
Bears.
Jay Cutler was, I think it's really disrespectful to put Rex Grossman in the same sentence
as him. Of course, but I think Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton's output, you know, together could probably equate to a Jay Cutler, which is why they were able to get Jay Cutler in a trade that included Kyle Orton. So, I mean, you still have to remember that if you're saying him in the same sentence as Kyle Orton, that's a whole nother thing. By the way, that was a different general manager. So just think about that decision. I mean, ownership's got to get involved at some point, right? Like, don't you have to be sitting in the background going, oh my God, this has been a mess. But here's what I want to talk about just real quick. This is the thing that Ryan Pace did once before that I think everyone in the NFL expects him to do again. And he thinks he's pulling the rug out from everyone. And he's not. He's trying to do the same move that he did in 2017. He signed Mike Glennon to a 3-year $45 million contract. Let's think about that for a moment. $18.5 million in guaranteed money. I think the only...
Yeah, but he had a winning record in Tampa Bay.
He did. And you're using my own thought process against me. But it reminds me, very similar to Matt Flynn's deal. I think that's the comparable,
yeah.
Like going out on the market, desperate team who finds someone.
You know, it's unfair to Matt Flynn that they let Russell start that season. I'm just
incredibly
kidding.
Unfair.
We never got to see Matt Flynn's potential.
So here's what's going to happen. The result of that situation, needless to say, was ugly. Do you remember what Mike Glennon was doing on draft night when the Bears traded up to number 2 and drafted Mitch Trubisky?
I don't know. Probably.
He was at the team's draft night party schmoozing with fans about how he was going to be the starting quarterback. And then they go move up.
Past Patrick Mahomes.
Passed on Patrick Mahomes.
Past Deshaun Watson.
And again, took a quarterback that most people at the time. Here was the thing that wasn't wrong. A lot of people were wrong on Mitch. A lot were. Because there were multiple teams who would have liked to have had Mitch Trubisky and were probably going to start him. So that's where things didn't go wrong with the Bears. I mean,
Mitchell. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was Mitch the whole time before the draft, and it becomes Mitchell.
I think that Chicago, everyone calls him Mitch in large part because
he wants to be called Mitchell.
Yeah. So you got to add a little bit of something on there. I was talking to a Bears fan. This is how Bears fans work. I was in the parking lot at Jewel Osco the other day wearing a Bears hat. This guy yells at me, you know, he goes, "Hey, what do you think the Bears are going to do this year?" I go, "Oh, you know, I think Andy Dalton's okay. Like, you know, they're going to be fine." He goes, "Oh, they signed Andy. They're tanking. They finally admitted they're going to go 2-14. I'm like, "Dude, like, I think they've got a chance." And he goes, "How old are you?" I go, "Well, you know, I'm 24. And he goes, "Look, I'm 51 years old. The good thing is that I've seen my championships. Your generation, you guys, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds are getting to it. We're going to be desperate soon." He's like, "I saw my championships. I got the 85 Bears. I've got some Blackhawks titles. The Cubs did it. The White Sox did it. But the Bears, this is where things start to get desperate." And that's why you get the magic 8-ball revolving door of quarterbacks. And so what Ryan Pace did with that Trubisky deal.
Well, they're also desperate because they don't have any 4,000-yard or 30 touchdown passers. That's another reason for desperation. But they don't even have production from the position, let alone winning.
But also, the target shouldn't be 4,000 yards. This is Chicago, for goodness sake.
Should be MVPs.
I mean, the reality is, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. Green Bay is a completely different animal. Something in Wisconsin, like, They figured it out. I don't know if the wind is less, if the cold bothers him less. There's something about it. In Chicago, it's okay to have a 3,500-yard passer, but his quarterback rating, it's got to be over 100. Like, you can't be having heavy turnovers. You can't be having heavy mistakes. And that's what most of these guys come in here and do. It's not the fact that they don't throw for 4,000 yards. It's not the fact that they don't have wheels. It's not the fact that they can't throw 40 touchdowns. It's the fact that they're horrible at controlling the game. You're talking about teams historically that have amazing defenses. Everyone's like, well, maybe if Chicago gets a field general. Maybe if Chicago gets a field general. Has a field general ever walked on that field in the last 10 years?
No, but neither as an athlete.
Nope, neither. So, I mean, there's two ends to the spectrum, believe me.
Yeah, I think just go with the athlete.
Absolutely, because you can't go wrong with that. That's the modern NFL.
If Justin Fields, listen.
And that's what confuses me. How is Mahomes back then not the athlete and Trubisky is? That confuses me to no end, and that's what the Bears are going to do again this year is that they signed Andy Dalton off the street, and now everyone's going, oh, they're going to trade up. They're going to trade up, and then they're going to ruin Trey Lance. Or somebody.
Well, I think Justin Fields would fit really well. He can handle the pressure. And just switch Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields in your mind. Just switch them. Right? Justin's not going to have those accuracy issues. And do we really think Mitchell Trubisky was a good processor of information?
No.
Like, come on, we watched him play. And he went, what was his record?
29-21.
29-21. So just switch those guys with Matt Nagy as the head coach.
Also, Mitchell Trubisky failed at explaining a hot audible at the line in John Gruden's quarterback camp. That should be like the simplest thing for an NFL quarterback. If you can't even do that.
Listen,
and he failed it very confidently. He was like, yeah, hot red one.
If
and
Justin
Gruden
Fields
was like, nope, you're wrong.
If Justin Fields falls to the bear, I saw somebody saying, I'm not going to say his name. But I saw somebody say, hey, if Justin Fields is available from 10 to 15 and the Bears have an opportunity to move up, they should not do that. That's crazy. They should trade down. And to me, what are we doing here? This organization has tried one way for decades. And it gave you what? One dominant team. Where the biggest flaw in the team was elite quarterback play. Because the one team that kept you from perfection, guess who they had? Dan Marino. Right? What's this league been about? It's been about quarterback play. And you wonder why you, as the pinnacle organization of the NFL, as the Bears fans like to think they are, and as the Bears organization could be, because it's such a big city, it's got so much history, it's got such a beautiful stadium on the lake. If they just embraced the duh position, which is let's get an elite quarterback. And you know what, Bears? Oh, well, we've tried that. We tried. No, you've tried to get the white, excuse me for that, but it's true. The white drop back passer.
The plain dude.
The plain drop back passer who looks like Jim McMahon. As close as possible to Jim McMahon.
Very, very similar to Jim McMahon.
Think about it. Rex Gross. I mean, all of them. Right down the list.
Even Rex Grossman's name sounds like he should be a Bears quarterback. Rex Grossman rolls off the tongue nicely. That's a Bears quarterback. But going to your point, just real quick about NFL and championships, I think this is interesting. I was watching an interview, and it was Dick Butkus, and he said that he went into Halas's office, and he said, Coach, I don't think you really want to win a championship. And of course, you know, Halas like gets up off the table, you know, wants to body him up a little bit, gets a little bit intense. And he's like, well, what do you mean? This is before the draft, you know, in the 60s or whatever. Maybe it was the early 70s. I can't remember. But the point that Butkus made was he said, look, what we've built as an organization, the modern NFL that you're a part of creating, the expansion team Dolphins that we're going to lose to and have lost to. Yeah. It's completely different than everything this organization has ever been about. And think about that sentence. And then the conversation went well, and Halas, you know, just said, who are we drafting? He says, I'll tell you on draft day. But at the end of the day, that's the problem. This organization has embraced an old school mentality. And guess what it can get you? It can get you 8-8 almost every year, 9-7, 10-6, 11-5.
Great defense.
It can get you to the playoffs. Old school football still can win games, but it really does not win championships, very rarely.
No, I mean, look at the teams. Just look at the teams that made the Final Four. I think that's always an indication of where the NFL stands. if you look at the teams of the Final Four. Now, occasionally you have a Jacksonville or a Philly pop in there because they have a special group. Like Philly had the D-line.
Also, Bortles that year played as well as he will
possibly could have ever played. Yeah, like, you know, he hit his ceiling.
He was an elite quarterback for a moment, for a flash in the pan.
My thing about the Bears is Andy Dalton is just change your philosophy. It's a great organization and everywhere except the quarterback position.
Also, Andy Dalton, the sad thing about that is that he would have been a very reasonable pickup last year.
Yes.
This year, it's frustrating because you gave Mitchell another shot, and then you went and
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And when you do that,
and then you said QB1, Andy Dalton, welcome to our city. That's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a PR mess.
And you're probably going to draft a quarterback.
It's a PR mess for sure.
Clearly,
it's a PR
there's
mess.
No communication in no. the PR.
Well, again,
personnel.
Do you
ownership.
Know whose job that is? It's Ryan Pace's. Like, this guy's going to get fired. And I hope he doesn't take Matt Nagy down because I think this team could be a 500 team or better. And they don't really have that many pieces. And all you have to do is have a decent draft. So let's calm down-ish. Do not be calm about the Cubs, though. Lost again the night we are recording this, Monday night.
April 26th.
April 26th, yeah. So we're releasing April 27th. But I think this team's staring at another championship abyss, and I kind of think it's the organization's own choosing, which doesn't make any sense. It's the only organization I know that's in the third largest. It's the only organization I know that's in a top five market or like a large media market, has its own television network, marquee sports network, that's bringing in massive regional money, has an extremely wealthy fan base and a historic stadium that will fill no matter the record. It's hard for me to believe that this team doesn't have a lot of money. And it's hard for me to think of reasons why they had to let go half their staff and reasons why they're refusing to add any pieces to their roster and they're looking to sell. They operate like the Cincinnati Reds. They operate like the Cincinnati Reds. This is Chicago.
But it's the third largest market in the United States. And I think the only kind of common base that I can find an organization that operates this way but has valid excuses to is the Astros. They've done it previously. The next ownership group is about to do it. They had a World Series run, lost in the World Series in early 2000s, and then Drake McLean just kind of kept milking the team and then sold them. But guess what's different about Houston and Chicago? The Cubs have been here for how many years?
Oh.
Now,
so Wrigley, well the first game in Wrigley was April 20th, 1916.
Right. So, I mean, you're talking about playing in that same stadium.
Since 1916.
And you're talking about the third largest city in the United States. You're talking about a massive market that just loves sports, loves Cubs, one of the wealthiest neighborhoods, not really just in this city, but also in the country, and you're not willing to spend. In Houston, the excuse is that the Astros, Houston has fair weather fans in baseball, you know, and so same thing. There's, you know, it's the fourth largest market in the United States, slightly smaller than Chicago, catching on it. Team doesn't own its own network. They don't even own their own radio network, which the Reds do. Which, you know, that's something that most small market teams don't, but a large market team like Houston would. But again, the comparisons, it doesn't make sense. You're talking about one of the most historic teams in all of baseball. But again, ownership here in Chicago almost embraced losing for a while, right? You'd go into the bathroom and everyone would say, how many are we going to lose this year? 80, 90, 100?
Yeah, because they were making money doing it.
And you laughed about it and you still went to the game.
But I don't think it's going to work as well this time.
Well, because it's a different product. You went and put out a really amazing product and you won a World Series and you showed people you were capable of it. And then I think another issue is that, you know, it was a very blasé exit for Theo Epstein. And the problem is that questions probably should have been asked then when the greatest general manager of this generation of general managers who broke a curse in two cities, in Boston and in Chicago, why would he leave if the organization?
I mean, this is
that normally means that the organization is probably not on the same page as the general manager.
I think Theo Epstein in 30 years is going to be the most important non on the field figure in baseball. I really do. Because he is the realization of Billy Beane, right? You know, again, John Henry offered the job to Billy Beane first.
He wanted Billy Beane to take that job, but he found someone who would be Billy Beane, but could work with the money.
And the fact that he broke the curse, two legendary sports curses. I mean, that's just next level Hall of Fame stuff.
Oh, absolutely. So,
and that's why I don't think there was much ado about nothing when he decided to step away.
But still,
because he can do whatever he wants.
But in hindsight, you still have to ask someone who is addicted to winning and who didn't leave Boston immediately either, right? I mean, this was a guy who still, you know, brought another championship to Boston. What is it about this city that made him only want to do one? What is it about this organization that makes him only want to win one?
Ownership.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the answer. And I don't
want to pull in the purse strings.
And I don't want to be overly critical. I mean, one of the things that I think is really important is that this is still a good baseball team. And the question is more about what happens 60, 70, 80, 90 games into the year.
What's their ceiling? If they keep everybody the whole year, what's their ceiling?
I think 87 and 75 would be a good year.
I think that's good. I think that's a good range. 87, 75. But I just don't think they're going to keep it everybody.
And if things really...
Definitely not everybody.
If things really fall their way, they might hit a 90-win season, win the division. Because I think it will take 90 wins to win this division.
Barely. This feels like the 2010 NL Central.
Very similar.
You know?
Very similar.
Not a lot of pitching in the division. A lot of teams can hit.
Which is why you're probably looking for who's the team with the most likely MVP candidate. Who has the Joey Votto season this year? And I think the Cubs have multiple guys in that conversation, which is why it helps keep them around a little bit longer. But again, the question is, okay, Rizzo's in that conversation. Probably won't, but he's always going to be in that conversation. Javier Baez is definitely in that conversation. Love Javi Baez. And Chris Bryant has been hitting the crap out of the ball this year. The only problem is that no one's on base in front of him.
But again, if they don't come back down 3-1, just simply reading those names, it would mean something different to you. And that's the problem with this team, is that we have a little bit of 2016 fuzz, I think. I mean, look at Rizzo. You were reading the numbers to me earlier. What?
It's been 6 years since he was an All-Star, which would include this season. And it's been 5 seasons since he had a 30 home run season. And even
so, is Anthony Rizzo if he's not a Chicago Cub World Series champion?
Well, Anthony, his comparison is a first baseman of the past, a Derek Lee, a former Chicago Cub. He's not a Sean Casey. He's better than a Sean Casey because he's got more pop in his bat. He's had a higher batting average. So there's a couple comparables out there.
But that's the thing. And
I think Derek Lee, who did not win a World Series.
But God, you read the lineup and you're like, Contreras and Bryan and Baez and oh, Bodie. You know, like it feels like more grand than the team is.
Or how about Ian Happ?
Ian Happ.
Who is starting to almost turn into a worse version of the hype around a Yasiel Puig type. Where we've had hype around him for years and years and years. When do you start to say
Jock Peterson is another name in the lineup? Best.
Yeah.
You're like Jock Peterson. Oh, Jock Peterson, right?
Dodgers.
Well, he played for the Dodgers, hit a lot of home runs.
Well, and again, another important fact that you mentioned is that if you go look at other players who had good seasons on other teams, like if Adam Duvall has his couple 30 home run seasons on the Dodgers, and then he comes.
Oh,
Chicago,
my God, Adam Duvall.
He's thought of just as they thought of the Jock Peterson acquisition. But the reality is that he's got pop, he strikes out a lot, no batting average, and is a liability in the field. That's who Jock Peterson is.
Yeah, so I'm worried about that with the Cubs. And I don't know. It looks like they got the extras cast of Major League in the bullpen. Everybody with perm and mustaches and not able to throw many strikes, throwing about 89, which is probably what the stunt doubles threw on the set.
At least they're having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we can give them credit for that, right?
Who's not having fun this year, who's taking things real serious, is over on the South Side.
Yes.
They are very serious about this team.
Although it's an understatement to say they're not having fun, because if there's a team in baseball, the only team in baseball having more fun on the field is the San Diego Padres. Yeah. The White Sox are having fun, but they're taking it serious.
I don't know if the team is. The fans, this is a team with expectation, right? The Cubs got theirs. Team went through a rebuild. You made some good moves. Guys are popping. You're third in World Series odds to start the year. The Cubs are on their way out. It feels like your time. It feels like the White Sox time.
The irony is that it feels so different from the early 2000 White Sox teams that obviously went on to win a World Series, because there's enough names in this lineup that all of baseball knows, right? Like, unless you...
Better lineup, Cubs or Sox?
White Sox, absolutely, without a doubt. And the White Sox aren't even fully healthy yet.
Read the lineup, though, to a random Chicagoan, and they're going to be like, oh, that sounds like the Cubs are better.
They probably
Because those
would.
Guys were in the World Series.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If absolutely. You just, if you haven't been to Guaranteed Rate, which I hate calling it that, Comiskey, if you haven't been to Comiskey yet, you wouldn't know who Yermin Mercedes is, right?
Talk about one of the greatest finds. I mean, that is phenomenal.
I think he's here to stay.
Oh, absolutely.
He was a 301 batter in the minor leagues.
He reminds me a lot of Big Poppy. Very, not in size. I'm just talking about pure numbers. Always hit well in the minors. Finally latched on later on at a major league club. And I think he can hold on.
Yermin much later than Big Poppy, yeah?
Let me
check that.
Yeah, I'm going to do a little research. Because
Yermin is 28.
Yeah, I think Poppy was 27 or 26.
I'm guys like Joey Votto came in late. I mean,
so Poppy's career really took off when Boston acquired him at age 27 from Minnesota. His first full year as a starter was in 2000 with Minnesota, but he was not an everyday starter every year until 26 with Minnesota. And from age 21, so he made the big leagues. Here, let me do this. I'm going to do some math for a second while you add.
Yeah,
your
and what's interesting is that when Max is pointing that out, I think 2 years ago, back in 2018, I mean, you look at Mercedes' OPS in the minors that year, you make an argument he might have been able to be called up. Had he been a higher level prospect, he might have gotten a chance to get called up. And there was, I just couldn't tell why he didn't. And he's a 301 career batter in the minors. He's obviously not going to bat over 400. But to me, 290 is the floor because he's a good hitter. This isn't like Aquino for the Reds. Or remember Travis Story comes out and is just lighting the ball on fire.
Yeah.
This guy's a good hitter.
And Poppy is very interesting. 455. No, that's in Minnesota. I want to find his total minors numbers. I'll do that in a second. But the numbers that I really wanted to give you are when he came into the league, so he did get a chance to come up at age 21, and he played every year from 21 through 26, but he played in 455 games. Ready for this number? 455 games, 1,477 at-bats, 58 home runs from 21 to 26. And then in Boston, he played there for 14 years, and in 7,100 at-bats, 524 doubles, and 483 home runs with the Red Sox. Again, a little different route than Mercedes because he got called up at 21, but didn't get regular playing time until coming to Boston. You know, didn't hit for 40 home runs until he was 28 years old.
So what do you think this White Sox team is going to need? Because every team that wins a World Series adds something.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier today. We talked a little bit about it before we got on the show, and at first I said, maybe a quality, like a really quality trade deadline, extra starting pitcher, a real veteran. But I think more of what I think is there's two different things that need to happen. So the first one is that it would be nice to get a really, an extra dominant arm from the bullpen. Because the bullpen it's close, but it's not totally there yet. The second thing that needs to happen is that Dallas Keuchel, who was elite with Houston from age 26 through 30 when he left, had a good year in Atlanta, but last year came back and had a phenomenal year. 11 starts, 1.99 ERA. He went 6-2. He was back in the Cy Young Award voting for the first time in a couple of years. Right now, he's got 5 starts and a 4.32 ERA. He's the guy. He's probably the catalyst in the starting rotation that allows you as an organization to say, great, we've got a bunch of young arms. They're all coming in here. In the starting rotation, everything's fine there. And Keuchel's the anchor. He's the guy that we can go to in a playoff game. He's the guy, like if you get stuck in a one game playoff, right? Or, you know, for the division, right? And you really want that home field advantage. Keuchel is probably the guy as a veteran that if he's pitched well enough, you want the option to go to. You would prefer not to be put in a box where you say,
yeah,
probably have to go for one of the young arms.
Well, it's a weak AL. I'm not really scared of anybody.
Kansas City, though, has had a really hot start, and we're getting closer and closer to, you know, the 40-game mark, and I think they won again today.
Yeah, they're 14-7.
14-7. I mean, that's a hot start. Because
Miguel Cabrera doesn't want to slide. $28 million. That's I'm too expensive to slide. I'm too old.
That was horrible.
I'm too old, and I'm too expensive. And we suck. I'm not sliding.
My favorite thing about that play today, so the play we're referencing was not even a sharply hit ball. It was a weakly hit grounder. Cabrera's at third. He's coming into home plate today.
Oh, my God. Like, and 99% of major leaguers score on this play.
And he does not slide. He kind of moves out of the way of the catcher. And the better part of it is that to tell you how horrible the play was, we were listening to the Tigers broadcast crew. They were silent for a good 45 seconds of replays. They had nothing to say. And then finally, what did they say? They said,
worth remembering.
They said something about how, oh, maybe he was blocking the path there. Like, that was the note that they gave.
Well, I don't know. That was just ridiculous. The Tigers are a joke. I can't believe they exist. Talk about super leagues and not having competition over in European soccer. I mean, the Tigers, relegate them.
Wouldn't you love for the White Sox are already there, but imagine,
well, if Major League Baseball isn't going to do a salary cap, then hell, do the relegation thing.
Absolutely.
Make these teams spend some money. You don't get to go in the cellar, right?
Love that. Yeah. Relegate them,
you know, bring up the Louisville Bats, Columbus Clippers,
or at least move them
South Bend, get the Cubs.
Yeah. or at least, and obviously this would never happen, or at least move like all the crappy teams into one division and one team makes the playoffs. I don't care how good your record is. One team makes it out alive. And then we get to see the Dodgers and the Padres and the Reds and the Cardinals and all these great teams from like the old AL West, the Cubs, right? All these teams, let's put them all in a big division and three make it in. You come out of there alive.
They could do a divisional realignment. In Major League Baseball,
well,
one
we
day.
Have lost some really good old rivalries, and that's a topic for another time.
You know, but just do more regional,
absolutely,
more geographical.
Yeah.
I think it should be more Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, right up there. You know,
yeah, that would
the
be
Cincinnati Chicago
nice
thing is great, but I feel like it should be Chicago, Minnesota, St. Louis, Milwaukee.
Yep, that's a nice box. And also, I think it would be really interesting. I know sports has really never done this before.
It's a real tangent. I like it.
It would be really fun to see two teams from the same city in the same division have to play each other like 21 times a year.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it should be Chicago. So five-team division, right? Chicago, Minnesota.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
Yep. Kansas City.
And Milwaukee.
And then
Milwaukee.
Okay.
Kansas City, you get out there, you can put Kansas City with...
You're still missing a possible fun St. Louis-Kansas City rivalry there, though.
Well, then, hell, get rid of the Cardinals. We don't like the Cardinals.
Move them.
Then we'll... Kansas City Cardinals.
No, we support the Cardinals. My significant other is a Cardinals fan, and the Cardinals have never wronged us
man.
That badly. I mean, we've wronged the Cardinals as many times as they've wronged us.
Listen.
St. Louis fans are nice.
I'm now a proud Chicagoan.
Absolutely.
Former Cincinnatian.
I don't know what I am.
I'm
trying to embrace Chicago, but we're getting there.
I'm not saying a good thing about the Cardinals.
Fair enough.
Cardinals. My Lord. Okay, real quick. End of the show.
Yep.
Bulls, Blackhawks. Here's the thing. Here's my big quote about the Bulls. Guys, if we just took out Michael Jordan, this is the Nuggets. If we took out Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls are no better an organization historically with their significance, their year-to-year success, the amount of star players they've had than the Denver Nuggets. Seriously, Denver Nuggets, irrelevant through the 60s, the 70s.
Which means they're below the Utah Jazz because at least the Jazz were in the playoffs for every single year for like 21 years.
And the just collection of irrelevance. And then there was Michael Jordan. So that was great. So take that out. And then what do you have? An MVP player one time. I know Carmelo didn't win an MVP, but he was MVP-like. And they get deep in the playoffs a few times. But I don't even think the Bulls got to the conference finals, though. I don't think they've been to a conference finals without Michael Jordan. No, they were with Scottie Pippen. The 2 years without
That's
Michael
what
Jordan.
I thought. Yeah, that
conference semis, maybe.
But still remember, great team, great coach. I mean,
yeah, great team, great
that
coach.
That was still spurned on by the era. of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but I think Bulls fans know this. At least I hope you guys do. I mean, come on. Zach LaVine can't play defense. The Vucevic deal was short-sighted. That bad organizations make that Vucevic move. Well, let's get a big that can't play defense. When it's just unbelievable. Let's go outscore the Nets. That's a good long-term plan. Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic are going to combine to outscore the Brooklyn Nets.
Isn't LaVine starting to become kind of an odd NBA player when you think about his career path so far? Like, he came on the scene as, you know, this guy in a dunk contest when he was with...
Yeah, 4.5 points per game, Minnesota.
Like...
He's from Minnesota, yeah.
I thought he was on the Orlando Magic.
No, it's Timberwolves. Pretty sure. Because that was the Jimmy Butler trade.
But anyways, the point being made is that, well, no, yeah, LaVine...
No, he was in Minnesota. You can look that up. I mean, yeah. I promise you. Because then Jimmy Butler goes to Minnesota, and then he gets there and he realizes all those guys are soft. So he takes the backups and beats Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins in practice with the backups.
Oh, yeah. Timberwolves
by himself.
And then Bulls.
And then he looks at the coach. He says, get me the hell out of here. I don't want to play with these guys. And then we saw what Jimmy Butler was doing in the NBA Finals, going toe-to-toe, shot for shot, stop for stop, with the greatest of, at least since Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and that was a horrific, the Bulls. And the Blackhawks are just in a rebuild. They had those three championships, though. They've got about 5-6 years people being happy.
My news story on the Blackhawks is actually it came out today. You know, I thought it was one to go ahead and address. A forward, Andrew Shaw, 29 years old, played in 544 career games, 2 Stanley Cups, and retires due to a long list of concussions. So, his quote was going through the recovery process over and over again, like I have the past few years, just doesn't seem like good quality of life. The doctors didn't think I should keep putting myself through that. So, 2 Stanley Cup rings, 2013 and 2015, 247 career points in 544 regular season games.
Yeah, that's tough.
35 in the postseason.
More reason to sell the pieces you have.
But actually, really good timing. You're talking about a utility guy, and I love hockey. I was lucky enough moving to Chicago that I kind of fell in love with hockey in Pittsburgh, but never latched onto the Penguins, which is a darn good thing, obviously, because latching onto the Blackhawks would have then been very weird. But got to see
sinful.
Got to see great hockey in Pittsburgh, and that's one of the things. I'll tell you, one of the things I'm most looking forward to as we come through the end of this COVID is getting to go to a Blackhawks game.
Yeah, the United Center. Can't wait. Come on, Lightfoot.
Open her up.
Vaccine cards. End of May. If you can't get it, end of May. Available to all adults, people, please. Dear God.
You sound like you might need a vaccine of some sort. I know you're already in the process, but that voice, let's hope it comes back here a little bit.
Oh, no, it'll come back. I hope I haven't sounded that bad.
No, you have not.
I've had some moments.
Just picking on you at the end of the broadcast.
It's been on the shore. A lot of fun. Really high quality stuff. When my voice is normal, this show will be much better. So we hope you subscribe, like, follow us on Twitter. I'm at More Lucas. That Lucas is with a K. I know, German spelling weird. Max, yours is
at Max McDoolin. McDoolin. Keep it simple.
Yep. And if you're interested in Cincinnati sports for some random reason, check out Cincy Chronicle. Max and I do some writing over there. But if you're not, just follow us here. We love it. Thank you so much, Max. Any final words?
No, not at all. I think
yeah. All right. We're headed out of here. This has been On the Shore.